All right, if we can find our seats, we're going to get started. I've got the clicker on. Give everybody a second to find their spaces. It's good to be back here with you this evening. Wednesdays are hard, amen? Oh, it must not be hard for most of y'all. Wednesdays are, seems like I barely get out of work on time and I'm rushing around and I'm barely getting dinner. So on the Wednesdays that I get the opportunity to teach, I'm really going crazy. But anyway, I traded for this week. And then when Steve, Doc Wilson, sent me the email saying, okay, well, your new passage will be this. For those fantasy football people, you know, it's kind of like you've made a trade before, and then all of a sudden you go, ah, it's not looking so good. Well, when I first saw the passage, I thought, it's not looking so good. And so I ended up getting in and studying, and after a while I was like, I am really glad I got this passage. Now, some of you all, when we're done tonight, may not feel the same way, but we are going to get into that this evening. Titled our study tonight, Let Your Light So Shine. I think it will make sense to you here shortly, although when we first read the verses, you may go, what is he talking about? First off, I want to focus your attention. Okay? I'm going to preface it with that. This is God's Word. So as we read the verses, keep that in mind. Keep a proper perspective. And I'm going to ask you not to check out tonight. Okay, when we first read these verses, and in a minute you'll understand, some of you are going to have a tendency to check out because it doesn't address you directly. I'm going to ask you to stay with me because there's something for all of us this evening in this passage, especially in 2018. The main themes that we'll cover this evening, or that Peter covers in this passage of Scripture, are salvation, Christian living, and the family life. So, let's begin. Notice I have my helmet here. 1 Peter 3:1, likewise ye wives. Now you understand why I said some of you will have a tendency to check out. Be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of meek and quiet spirit, of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. We're going to break this passage of Scripture down with four W's, one H, and an example, which is not how I initially was going to attack this, because I recently went to a leadership course and they taught us about the golden circle and all this stuff, but I said, nah, we won't do that. So let's start with the first one, who. Now this was a joke, so I'm going to put this out of my way because I'm going to knock it off if I don't. That was actually my boss's idea because I told him I was teaching this passage tonight, and then he chuckled. So let's take a look here. Ye wives, that is the who. And if you look at the definition, I actually looked up the definition. I have a really old dictionary. Look there, 1892. When I was back in college, no, I was not in college in 1892, but there was a book sale at a library up in Minnesota, and I was going through these books, and they had this old dictionary, and I still have it, and I like to refer to it because the dictionary changes a little bit sometimes, and they add some extra meaning, and I said, I'm just going to look this up, and this is earth-shattering. Wife or wives mean a woman or women united to a man in wedlock. And you go, okay, but I want you to notice the specificity, okay? Wives, it says in the verse, right? Not spouses. And it also has an inclusivity. The message or the commandment is to follow for all wives. It's not just for the Jewish wives that he was addressing in this book or in this letter. You say, well, Brother Hawk, how do you know that? Well, these are continuing thoughts. We've been studying the last few weeks from 1 Peter chapter 2. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, we learned about the relationship of several different people to other people. Ourselves to the government? Yes? Okay. Ourselves as employees to employers. Term there is servant or slave to your master. And then last week, Dr. Wilson talked about the relationship of who? Oh, Jesus Christ? Yes. Remember, he humbled himself. We talked about that last week. So even Christ, in his relationship with God the Father, he humbled himself to the cross. So let's be clear on one thing. It is important to emphasize, I feel, that Peter, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, did not write, "Wife, be in subjection to your own wife." He also did not write, "Husband, be in subjection to your own husband." And we could also say he did not write, because this term became kind of popular in the military and on a lot of other places, this spouse, okay? And I think that's probably because the number of women in the military has probably increased dramatically over the last 30 years or so, because I know when I first came in, it was really lopsided, a lot of men and very few ladies. So it does not say spouse, be in subjection to your own spouse. It says wife or wives. Scripture is clear throughout that God's plan for marriage is one man and one woman to be joined together and to procreate. So you have two options according to God's word. Stay single or you can be married. But that marriage is very specific. One man and one woman united in holy matrimony. We see that in Genesis, Matthew, 1 Corinthians, and Ephesians. I'm going to show it to you in two of those four verses. Genesis 2:24. We're all familiar with this. Therefore shall man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. We usually hear that read at a wedding. Now, that's kind of hard to tell, but that's supposed to be read, because this is Christ speaking in Matthew 19:5, and he said, "And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." The other two passages that I had say almost exactly the same thing. So that's the who. Now let's talk about what. What are these wives to do? It says, likewise, and then be in subjection to your own husbands. Okay, this is specific to the marriage relationship. It's only about the wife and her behavior to her husband. Okay? That word likewise, it was amazing. What would you think of if I said likewise? What first comes to mind? What's that? Okay, but I mean, just that one word. What? How would you translate that one word or define that one word? Also, okay. In the same way. I was really surprised as I was looking through all these commentaries and reading some other sermons by other pastors, the wide definition of this word likewise. Because you see up there it says equally or in the same way, and then I've got down there in the bottom some of the translation comparisons. And so I'm not going to tell you what all those different translations are because I don't know what half of them are, but Blue Letter Bible can tell you what every one of them are. And I just found that interesting that, you know, it's almost evenly divided between the word likewise or in the same way. And then as you continue to dive down into that, there is a difference of opinion on just how similar are the wives to be in comparison to the earlier verses where it talks about the slave to the master. John MacArthur states, in chapter 2, Peter taught that living successfully as a Christian in a hostile world would require relating properly in two places, the civil, which we talked about a while ago, and the workplace. But at the start of this chapter, he added two more places. One is the family, and the other is the local church, which next week we'll look at verse 7, following week we'll look at verses 8 and 9. So we won't get into that. Stephen Davey, Dr. Wilson, he pointed me toward this gentleman. Some of our folks in the church know who he is. He's the pastor of Colonial Baptist Church up in Cary. And I like how he put it. He said this opening adverb translated in the same way means that the citizen and the employee and the wife and even the Lord submit with the same sacred motive and with the same sacred perspective. He says they are ultimately submitting in the same way, that is, out of love for and obedience to and for the exaltation of the glory of God and His wise purposes and plans, which we may not fully understand. Notice he doesn't talk about the wife's feelings. He doesn't talk about the scenario in which the wife and the husband are in. Simply talks about how it relates to the glory of God. And we're going to talk more about that here in just a moment. In subjection. Now, this word in the Greek, hypotasso, means all these things listed here, which are fairly common or, you know, well understood. But to subject oneself or obey, to submit to one's control, to yield to one's admonition or advice. I want to stress here, this doesn't mean that the wife is inferior. That's a lot of times how we interpret this. A wife reads it, I can't believe that God expects me to do this. Okay? You chuckle, but I've heard it. Okay? So many people have the wrong perspective on this topic. It is talking to your role as a wife. It is not speaking to your value. Okay? So it's very important that you keep that in mind. That's why I had that little slide up front where I said, keep the proper perspective. Don't focus on it tying to value. It has nothing to do with your value. It has everything to do with your role. Stephen Davey once again, okay? He says the Greek word for submission here means to willingly rank under. It can be expanded to refer to voluntarily arrange and adapt and serve with deference and respect. We're going to see some of that come into play here in the following verses. He goes on to say the word is actually an administrative term which carries the idea of voluntarily assisting in order to bring to completion. Some of you may say, I don't like that. God didn't ask you. Okay? And I know you, I mean, I'm not trying to make light of it, but, you know, a lot of times we read in chapter 2 that we were supposed to be in submission to the emperor, which, you know, we could say, well, we don't have an emperor. You're correct. But we do have a president, and we have a governor, and we have these folks that go around who are deputized, that work for the sheriff, and also those who work for the police department who are folks in authority. Okay, and it is our Christian duty to be in submission to them. So, own husbands. Let's talk about that. This is internal to the marriage, and in a minute we're going to talk about those husbands and kind of this whole scenario that a lot of these wives in this church, in this early church, are finding themselves in and how they got to be that way. For better, for worse. How many of you said that? If you're married in here, if you're married, okay, how many of you said that in your vows during your wedding? All right, get them up. Okay, so I would venture to say that nearly every married person in here just raised their hand. Okay, and those of you that are watching on live stream, you probably could have raised your hand as well. Okay, very common words to say at a wedding. Okay, but do we mean it? Somebody said nope. Okay, we got some honesty right up front here. Okay, come see me after the service, please, and we'll have a little bit of counseling. No, I'm teasing. All right. We say it, and when we're standing up in front of everybody, we might mean it, but then things get hard. Okay? And I got this gentleman over here chuckling, okay? And I don't want to see any elbows thrown or anything like that tonight, okay? All right? It depends on what the worst is. Well, let's talk about what the worst was for these wives that Peter is writing to. Okay? But before we do, I've got a couple more slides. So, for better or for worse, what we do nowadays is if it's for worse, we divorce. Most of the time, okay? We don't like it being hard. We don't like not being able to afford what we want. And that old bum of a husband, he just isn't making enough money, so I'm going to go find me one that is. Okay? That's not going to fix it, okay? Or, well, he just doesn't like anything that I cook. Or all he ever does is sit around and watch football. Or name whatever it is. And when it gets hard and things aren't going the way, man, I married for marital bliss. Guess what? It doesn't exist. Okay? I'm just being honest. Okay? Now, there are times that things are good, but I'm not quite sure that marital bliss is out there. And so in 2018, what it looks like is everybody wants to have things their way, no one wants to compromise, and it ends in divorce. Or you just have two folks that are just enduring, and they're not happy, and it shows, and it should never be the case in the church. So, application point number one, the Christian's submission to authority, whether civil, workplace, or family, has the glory of God at stake. Why? So why are these wives to be in subjection to their husbands? That, if any, obey not the word, they also may be won. So let's talk about this for a second. The spiritual condition in this day when these wives had this letter read to them. So can you imagine, we get a letter from Peter, and it's brought up here, and Doc Wilson or myself or Pastor Sean, we read the letter. All we're going to do is just read the letter. First of all, these wives are coming to faith. Now, I don't know how long y'all have been in church, but I've been going to church for a long time. And the one thing that I have noticed over my many years in church is that wives usually come to Christ, especially if you have two unsaved folks in a marriage, the wives usually come to Christ before the man's going to come to Christ. Okay? I've just seen it. Now, I don't have a Barna study to back that up. I did not do research to find out if it has been a study. But I'm telling you, if you've been in church for a while, you will see the wives come. I worked for years and years and years on a bus route. We used to run buses here. We still run a van. I drove the buses. Nana was my bus captain. And so we would bring kids in and kids in, and then all of a sudden we would start bringing dads in, right? No. Moms. And moms would come, and they would hear the gospel, and they would put their faith in the gospel. And the dads usually never showed up. Maybe every once in a great while, all of a sudden the family would start driving themselves to church. And I'm talking, I was a bus captain when I was 14. And I'm 50-something now. So quite a few years that I've worked bus ministry and gone out. If you've ever gone door knocking for evangelism, door-to-door evangelism, very difficult to get a man to listen to you. A woman, a lot of times, come on in, sit down, tell me all about it. And Jennifer and I, we've done that as a team before with Dawn Pitcamini when she was here. So these wives are coming to faith in Christ. And the husbands, for the most part, are not. And that's a problem. That's also why in the Bible it says, be not unequally yoked. It's stressful. It causes problems. And that's exactly what they've been here. Now, it wasn't the wives' fault here, because they were both unsaved, and then these wives hear the gospel, and they are coming to Christ, and their husbands are not. And as a matter of fact, if they say that they are a believer in Christ, most of them aren't living like it. And that causes strife. So the wife's obedience to these verses could result in what? What's that? A saved husband. Salvation. Salvation. So if they stick with it, now this isn't like, oh, Peter wrote us this letter, we're supposed to be in subjection, and the following weekend the husband's saved. Oh, no. No, this was over long periods of time, probably in most cases. I don't know how many of you have ever been over in that part of the world, but in that Turkey, Greece area, it's just wicked. I mean, if you go to buy things in a souvenir shop, be real careful what you look at, because they still worship a lot of those gods that they had, and they it was just vulgar. And that's what these husbands, they were serving these other gods, and they don't want to give that up. And so there was strife, but salvation could take place. It wasn't a guarantee. Some of these wives may never see their husbands come to Christ. However, he's saying, do everything you can to be in subjection, to bring glory to me, and your husband may be won to Christ. Doesn't say will. So application point number two is, our testimony matters. The manner in which we live, what we say, our attitudes, they can influence others to believe in Christ as Savior. Now, I thought I would forget this when I got here. You'll notice I said four W's, and today when I was reviewing my notes, I realized I left out the fourth W. The fourth W is when. When were these wives supposed to do this? When it was convenient, right? No. It's a lifestyle. That's right, brother. It uses the words conversation. If you look in some translations, it says conduct. So it wasn't when it was convenient. It wasn't do this for a week, and if it doesn't work, then just do whatever you want. No, it was make this your lifestyle. That's the W that I was missing. So at all times. Now we're to the how. This gets a little interesting. It says, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. In the ESV, it says, be won without a word by the conduct of the wives. And we move to verse 2. It says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. While in the ESV, it says, while they see your respectful and pure conduct. That word behold, it means watching, and I looked another, once again, used my Webster dictionary before it falls apart, and it says to look at attentively or to regard. So this is not you glancing or you every once in a while, you know, your husband looking at you. And I don't think it's just the husbands in this particular case, and I'm going to speak to that here in a few minutes. But this is watching. Wives, how many of your husbands like to watch football? Raise your hand. Okay, I got a few, okay? I'll pick on Bob for a second. Kathy, when Bob's watching the Raiders on TV, is he just kind of glancing and then he's reading a book and then he's getting up and making a sandwich and no? What's he doing?
Yelling at the TV.
That's why you should be a Chiefs fan. We're winning right now. But anyway.
I like your colors tonight.
Gotcha, brother. In honor of the Raiders. Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. If you're anything like me, when I'm watching football, don't talk to me. Don't bother me. Unless you're my grandchild, and then they can bother me. Okay? But don't ask me to read a book, because I'm not reading a book. I'm watching football. Okay? I'm watching everything. I'm yelling at the ref because he's missing the calls. I'm yelling at the coach because I don't know why they decided to run on 3rd and 12. Okay? I'm watching. I mean, I am intently watching. That's what's going on here. People are beholding these wives' behavior. Now, he uses two phrases. He says chaste, which we saw in the ESV, that's translated as pure. I like that second, this is from the Blue Letter Bible, exciting reverence. I thought that was interesting. Exciting reverence. Modest. And then it also says it can mean immaculate. Okay? Pretty high standards. And then coupled with fear. And we saw in the ESV it says respectful or with respect. Okay? So a pure and respectful behavior. Now, actions speak louder than words.
That's true.
Right?
It sure is.
So notice that he said in the verse that without the word, without the word, they may be one. The tendency is you either give up. I'm talking to our today wives. Things get hard. And the tendency is I give up. Doesn't matter what it is. You're just not happy anymore and you just give up. Or, you know, you not just give up, but you leave. Or you nag. Okay? Or you argue, we feel like we have to say something. Peter is saying, don't say anything. Now, that goes against the how shall they believe if they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? You're not a preacher. You're a wife. And he's telling them, if your husband is not receiving Christ and you are trying to force the gospel down his throat, probably what's going to happen is he's probably going to just reject it even more. So patience is required. He's telling them, live out your faith. He doesn't give them a timeline. He also doesn't promise a result. He says they may be one. So as we read these verses, and you think about how these wives were in this situation where, I mean, Christ was fresh to them. They had just received salvation, and they want to be involved. I don't know if you've ever seen that before, but I've seen it. I don't care if it's a man or a woman receiving Christ, and now they are just like ready to go to town. Let's get after it. Let's get things done. Let's serve. And sometimes maybe get involved in a little too much, but hey, that's okay. But he's telling them, Just live the way I'm telling you to live and be patient. And we talked about suffering last week. Doc Wilson, when he talked about Christ's suffering, these wives are suffering. Because I imagine these husbands are probably not all that nice. And here they're probably rubbing the fact that, oh, you believe in Christ and whatever, I've got my gods and I'm just going to keep serving them. And here she is just being in subjection to him and having that spirit. So a life-changing behavior, what does it look like? Not necessarily looking for answers, just getting you to think. What does that kind of behavior look like? It may be different depending on your relationship with your husband. So people are watching intently. Get caught glorifying God. And then we get to verse 3 where he talks about whose adorning, let it not be outward adorning of plaiting the hair or wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. So he's talking about the outward decoration here. The outward adornment. Braiding your hair, wearing jewelry, fancy clothing. Are these things wrong? No, he's not saying they're wrong. But that's not what's going to win him over. Instead, he is saying, the light's on the inside. Which is why I named it, Let Your Light So Shine. Okay, I was going to say, this little light of mine. Okay? Isn't it funny how we only sing that song when we're kids and then when we have kids? And then there's this period of time where that song's just not cool, so I'm not singing anymore unless you maybe teach four-year-olds like I am at age 50-something. So, verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in which is not corrupt, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Inner beauty. So, meekness, self-control, deference. What do I mean by deference? If you defer something, okay? So, giving in to the other person's desires, not insisting on your way. Kindness, gentleness. So let your light shine from the inside out is application point number 4. I'm getting to the rest of you. I know I'm talking to the ladies right now. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid of any amazement. So we have the example here. So we've covered our 4 W's, okay? We've talked about how they're supposed to do it. They're supposed to do it with a meek and quiet spirit. And now we have the example. Holy women. So, some things that these women have done, obviously, since they're being called out as an example, is that they have shown the way. They're also women of faith. They have led by example because they have submitted to their husbands. They're enduring hardships and they're glorifying God. Can you imagine the women, the Jewish women, as they were leaving Egypt? Let's back it up. How about right before they were leaving Egypt? Now, they could have blamed their husbands for, look at this mess you got us into. But it's saying holy women. Now, it doesn't say the ones that were in Egypt, but it's sometime in that Old Testament period of time. Can anyone think of someone who might come to mind who might have been one of those holy women? In subjection, what's that? Naomi. Okay. Esther. Okay, that was one that came to mind. Ruth, that's the one that I thought of immediately. When I read this verse, I said, Ruth. I mean, if you look at her relationship with Boaz, now granted, Boaz was not unsaved, okay? But her spirit, even when they had left and she was with her mother-in-law, was still that of subjection, that of a quiet and meek spirit. So Ruth was definitely the one that I thought of when I got to this verse. Now, I could not figure out for a while. I probably read it 6 times. Look over in Genesis 18, if you would please. And we're going to look at verses 6 through 12. Because I was searching and searching, where did Sarah call Abraham Lord? And I must have read these verses about 6 times. I'm a little slow. Before I found it. But if you look there in verse 6, Genesis 18, says, and Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah. Now this is when they had the visitors, okay? And said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf, which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, wherefore is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, am I waxed old? Shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? That's where it is, that verse right there. I was looking for something completely different, a different scenario, and she was referring to him as my Lord, or my husband, but my Lord. That speaks to the relationship Sarah had with her husband. That's what it's referring to there. And so application point number 5 is to pay it forward. Follow the holy example, or the example of the holy women of old. Speaking to you wives, okay? Now, 2018 looks a lot different than the day when Peter wrote the letter to this church, okay? To those scattered, the exiles. But you know what? The commandment hasn't changed. Now, you may not consider yourself a daughter of Sarah, okay? He was speaking to the Jews here. But once again, the overarching commandment is still the same. For all wives to be in subjection to the husband. Many of your wives, I see you with your husbands, and so hopefully both of you have put your faith in Christ. But I know that there are some that come here and their husbands are not saved. And yet they are. And it's very difficult. Okay? I've seen wives who are faithful to church every Sunday, but their husband wants nothing to do with church. And that is a stressful situation for them. Which brings us to our homework. Yes, you have homework. Wives. Just the wives. Okay? Submit to God's commandment for your marriage. Okay? Ladies. So, all of you ladies who are not wives, encourage wives to be, for their good example. If you catch them, you know, being a good example, you notice that their demeanor is that way. Okay? And when you get the opportunity to be a wife, try to emulate that. Submit to the same commandment. then you move into that top group. Oh. There we go. Sorry. Husbands, yes, you're not getting off easy tonight either. Some of us husbands, I'll put myself in that group sometimes. Sometimes we are really difficult to live with. Wives, quiet. Okay. I think I saw Kathy giving an elbow there. Don't give elbows. Okay. But it's true. Okay. Sometimes we're difficult to live with. Whether it's you would rather that we fix something that probably really needs to be fixed around the house. But if you're like me and it's fall and it's crisp morning out, what would I like to be doing, Mike Hubbard? Shooting Bambi. Bob got the answer right. All right. I'd much rather be sitting in a tree stand seeing nothing than being at home fixing the roof. Okay? Just one of those things. But guys, sometimes you need to fix the roof or mow the yard or change the oil in the car or take your pick. Okay? We are sometimes difficult to live with and not doing our part to live in harmony and making it easier for our wives to be in subjection and to glorify God. So your homework is work on that. And men, if you are not husbands, guys over here, all right, mark the marriages that demonstrate this type of relationship. Look for them, okay? Get to know the people in the church, see how they act with one another, how they interact with one another. And then someday, when you have the opportunity to be a husband, emulate that. Figure out what husbands are doing to make that marriage work. But once again, like I said earlier, okay, it's work. A marriage is work. And it's work every day. You can't work on it once a year and expect it to hold together and be a good marriage. It doesn't work that way. And I know, ladies, wives, we spoke to you pretty direct tonight. Don't worry. The husbands are getting ready to go off to the men's retreat, and they'll get plenty of it tomorrow. And then next Wednesday night, Dr. Wilson, who has next Wednesday? You do. So Dr. Wilson will be speaking to the husbands. Make sure you're here, husbands. Didn't tell you that so you could skip out. But in all seriousness, we need to keep our attention on Christ. Okay? That goes for all of us. But wives, it's easier to fulfill your role if you stop worrying about what your husband is or isn't doing and focus on glorifying God. All right? Let's have a word of prayer. Appreciate your attention tonight. Men, thanks for not checking out on us. And let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you for this passage of Scripture. And Father, that I learned a tremendous deal from this passage. And I pray that others, one, that I communicated that well tonight so that others gained the same benefit from it. But Father, I pray also that you would just stir up in our wives a desire to learn and focus more on this area, and Father, to keep their eyes on you, that they would glorify you in their marriages, that you would help the ladies in the church to encourage these wives, and for our younger ladies, that they would learn to emulate and learn how to live so that someday when they are wives, they will be able to fulfill this role as well. Father, we thank you for your word and the many truths in it, and it is difficult, and sometimes we don't like what we read. However, it is truth, and it is your word, and it is you that we serve, and we pray that you would just help us to remain focused on bringing glory to you in our lives every day, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.